Krishna Kirtana Nana Nata Nata Thank you. Oh.
Namely,
Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami,
who were always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and dancing.
They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular with both the gentle and the ruffians, because they are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone, and they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. I offer my respect for obeisances under the six Goswamis, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures, with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honoured all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, who are very much enriched in understanding Lord Chaitanya, and who are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. Papo tapa de krintano tanu pritam govinda ganam ritai. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviours of the living entities from the devouring mouth of impersonal liberation. I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they were always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, and they bathed always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, who are always engaged in intensely worshipping Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, which is filled with peacocks and flocks of cooing swans, cuckoos and cranes. In Vrindavan there are also beautiful trees full of fruits and flowers, and having roots inlaid with all valuable jewels, with great delight the Goswamis bestow upon the living entities the boon of the goal of life. I offer my respect for obeisances under the six Goswamis, who were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In this way, they utilized their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping, and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. I offer my respect for deities under the six Goswamis, who were sometimes on the bank of the Radhakund Lake, sometimes on the shores of the Jamuna, and sometimes in Vamsivat. At these places, they appeared just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness.
I offer my respectful obeisances under the six Goswamis, who chanted very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, chanting, O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan, or are you under the trees on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? These were their moves in executing Krishna consciousness.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Oh, you who are very dear to Lord Krishna,
oh,
I offer my respects to you, Srimati Radharani. I offer my respects to you, Srimati Radharani. Whose bodily complexion, is like molten gold. And who are the queen of Vrindavan?
And who is the queen of Vrindavan?
You are the daughter.
You are the daughter
of King Vrishabhanu.
Of King Vrishabhanu.
And you are very dear to Lord Krishna.
And you are very dear to Lord Krishna.
Omagyanatirandasya kananjana salataya chakshurumitam jena tasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya bhistam stavitam jena bhutale svayamrupa kadamahyam dhati svapikantikam mukam karoti vachalam Gayate Girim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Kurum Dinatayam. So today is the auspicious of the appearance of Srimati Radharani, who is 15 days younger than Krishna. We celebrated Janmashtami on a Monday 2 weeks ago. And that was the Tuesday after, so 15 days. People have difficulty in appreciating or understanding the existence of God. You know, if you asked, you know, the ordinary man in the street if he thought that God existed, most people just wouldn't have a clue. Don't know. There's a great deal of confusion and misunderstanding about and many thousands amongst men, hardly one, Krishna explains, hardly one has an understanding of who God is, or even if God exists. And very often that understanding is a very, very basic understanding that, you know, God is, you know, the energy behind everything, right? The energy or the power behind everything. And so as a consequence, is formless. You know, this is the beginning, this is the Brahman realization. This is the realization achieved by the Jnanis that God is energy, is power, is the light. This is about as detailed as it is, right? But somehow, you know, behind all of the detail and all of the function, all of the order and structure and the systems, that it's come from nothing, effectively. You know, because this spreading of the energetic, if you like, all throughout the whole creation, that energy, that potency, that power spread throughout the whole creation, makes it formless, right? Although very difficult to understand how all of the detail and all of the structure and all of the form and all of the function that we see in intricacy, you know, if you get out of a microscope and look at, which was a, you know, an amazing thing for the, I was reading about my great grandfather. Who I never met. And he was an interesting character. But he had a microscope. I guess that was something a big deal. You know, so, yeah, this is 200 years ago. No, not 200 years ago. At least 100 years ago. And my dad had that microscope. I remember looking at cells and a lot of complexity. So how does all of this complexity come out of nothing? Right? How does this, all of this complexity come out of nothing? But anyway, this is a very rudimentary understanding that people have of God. Right? Very rudimentary understanding. It's just, he's some energy, and you know, he's within everything, but nobody can see it. Well, it becomes an it, you know. Right, it becomes an it. I remember talking to my mum once, and we didn't have this kind of conversation very often, but my mum said to me, God's not a person, is he? I said, oh, that's ridiculous. If you're calling him a he, he's got to be a person. Right? And we have, you know, my simple explanation was, God is the source of everything. Right? God's the source of everything. And so, you and I have personality. Right? You and I have personality. And so, God must be a person. If he's a source, if he's our source, right? We come from him, and we've got personality. He must also have personality. It's logical, right? Very simple reasoning. And you can't give what you haven't got yourself. If you're the source of everything, you can't give what you haven't got. So it must be a person. But of course and this is the challenge. This is the challenge that the personality of Godhead is not immediately perceivable within the creation. Because it's a transcendental. You know, when we think of body and we think of form and we think of personality, then we think of the limited personalities or the limited forms and the limited personalities that we are temporarily bound in this body. And then after some time, poof, it's gone. Right? Well, you know, there's the six changes. Birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling, and then just as we're born, poof, we're gone, dead. Right? All the body. Right? So our conception of personality, the conception of form that we see in material existence is limited by the temporality of the creation. And so difficult to conceive of, you know, it's okay to conceive of an eternal energy that exists within everything and maintains everything, supports everything, and continues on, you know, stretches out in the past and continues on in the
future. Right? But to conceive of a personality that does the same, our experience of form and personality is limited and temporary. But of course, God's form is not like that. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has a form that's eternal. And this is a challenge, you know, because the Judaic Christian tradition is pretty much fixed on, or in good part, not always, but in good part, on this on the formless energy rather than on the personality. Right? And so, you know, although it is interesting, in the Catholic tradition, if you go into the cathedrals, if you go into the churches, then you'll see the form of Christ on the cross. But in a lot of the churches today, you know, in the Anglican church especially, Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Right? It's just the cross. Because Jesus is part of the whole, well, he's central to the whole theology, right? But he's been removed. So, although you do find in the Catholic tradition there's a stronger focus on the personality, right? There is a. But you know, in good part, even Jesus has gone from a lot of the Christian denominations. Whereas, you know, if you go into a Hindu temple, there's another problem. You go into a Hindu temple and then there's so many gods, right? If you go down to the let's not name anybody, but just go to any temple and it's bewildering. Huh? It's bewildering. Even the priests sometimes don't know what why they worship who they're worshipping. Which is, you know, and even come to a Hare Krishna temple, right? Well, you know, the natural inclination is when you come to a temple, you go to the altar, right, and see the Lord. Right? It took me a little while, but you know, when you first come to the Hare Krishna temple, no experience with any Hindu culture, right? So you come in, and you know, people are scared of this. You know, this is one of the great fears of coming to the Hare Krishna temple is, what do you do when you get here? What do you do when you go to the Hare Krishna temple? What are you supposed to do? Actually, I think it's natural in any circumstance. You know, when you first went to university, you walk in the front gate and think, oh, what was I going to school? What am I supposed to do? You know, nobody wants to look foolish. So anyway, I discovered that actually when you come into the Hare Krishna temple, you don't go to the front, to the altar, right? You go to the back, where Srila Prabhupada is. So we start off the back, not at the front. Interesting. I guess it's a cultural thing. It's just like, you know, the other day Chidrika was showing some young girls who came to they were delivering some bhoga, or picking up some bhoga, I can't remember which. And they came into the temple room, and they saw Srila Prabhupada, and they said, Chidrika, is he real? Is he real? Is he alive? She said, no, he's real, but he's here. So, you know, to the back. And then, so first of all, we've got Prabhupada, a personality. It's challenging. Then we come here,
we offer our obeisances to Gaudiya Thai, and you know, then we've got two personalities, and what are they doing? People can't work out what they're doing. They say, "I'll say, is that Krishna? Right? Is that Krishna?" And say, "Yeah, well, it is Krishna, but it's not Krishna." Right? It is Krishna, but it's not Krishna. and I mentioned this the other day. You know, we believe, and you know, because there's so many personalities, and people think we believe in many gods, and that's, you know, what to speak of one God who's just formless, right? Who can't be, you know, who can't be perceived because he's on the spiritual platform, right? He's on the spiritual platform, can't be perceived, can't be approached by the mundane senses, by one sense, right? But then we come to a Hindu temple, and then immediately we're assaulted, if you like, by all these different personalities. And so, what's going on here? Right? This is why, in one sense, you know, when you think about it, our culture, our spiritual culture, is hugely challenging for people who just don't even think that God exists. And if he exists, well, he doesn't have any form. He's within everything and all over, you know, everywhere, and impossible to approach. And then you come to the Hare Krishna temple, and then bang, there's this lifelike person who's sitting there, and everybody goes and bows down to him when they come in, right? And then there's another altar where there's just a myriad of things. You know, it takes sometimes devotees a couple of years to work out what's actually going on our level's altar. Because there's so much going on. Right? When you think about it, it takes a time. So yes, is this Krishna? No, well, actually, no, it's not Krishna, but it is Krishna. This is Krishna 500 years ago, right? As Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Right? And so this is a very difficult concept to understand also. This, what is it? We're monotheistic, right? We say we believe in one God. We believe in one God. But then people look at the order and they say, "What do you mean you believe in one God? What's going on here?" But one God who's polymorphic. This is great. I heard it was Conte probably mentioned this in one of his interviews or one of his explanations. You know, we believe in one God, but he has many forms, right? Simultaneously, right? And he never forgets. You know, even Arjuna, who's a literal, I'm teaching the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita at the moment, transcendental knowledge. And it's interesting, Krishna says, you know, Bahuni me vyatita me jama me chavajarjuna. Many, many births both you and I have had, Krishna says. Right? I can remember all of them, but you cannot. Right? And Arjuna is an internal associate of Krishna. Right? Arjuna is Nija Siddha. What's the word for an eternal Nityadeva associate, Siddhadeha, perfect in his spiritual form. Yet, he forgets. Interesting, huh? Krishna's associates, or at least Arjuna's, you know, arguably one of Krishna's most intimate associates. Yet every time he comes with Krishna, he forgets. Very interesting. So, this is a very unique, you know, we have a very unique culture and a very challenging culture, because we worship the one God, which is misunderstood as many gods. Which is bewildering for people, right? And he appears in many forms. At different times, or at the same time, he can expand and be present in a multiplicity of forms. And some fully himself, and some not himself.
This is immensely challenging when you think about it, right?
Some of them are not himself, but he gives them his powers, right? He gives, so we have victory in our lives, we have different persons. Even we recognize Shiva Prabhupada as a avatar, like we just said, right? And a Shakti of Ish, you know, one who has been given potency or power by Krishna. Krishna's power. That Lord Chaitanya is showing Hare Krishna, so everybody says, you know, you can't preach unless you have the power of Hare Krishna. Right? You can't be effective. And so we see, even we feel that ourselves. Right? You know, some days you're around in Sankirtan, you're trying to distribute books, you know, and you just feel like an idiot. You feel, you know, you couldn't even tie your bootlace up. It's just everything's impossible. Because usually what happens on a day like that, you know, when you're having a real tough time on Sankirtan, it is, but Krishna's, you know, we really do appreciate Krishna in our lives. It's just very simple things. And often, you know, you'll be out struggling like anything to do. You'll be working hard, trying to do something, and you feel like you're not getting anywhere with that particular endeavor. And then somebody completely unrelated will come along, and, you know, my example, one of my examples is that we used to have a quota on Sankirtan. I think, you know, especially when it was the month or two after the Christmas marathon, but before we would go to India. And you'd have to collect your usual collection plus a couple of $100 more per week, because that would go towards your fare to go to India. And of course, you know, Christmas marathon, it's easy, you know, people just give you money for it, so it's easy. But then after, you know, Christmas, New Year's Day, then it was a struggle for a couple of months. I remember working really hard, being super enthusiastic, fully expecting Krishna's reciprocation, and getting my quota, but of course that week I think I did about $600-$700, so I was extremely disappointed. And so on Saturday night, my parents and us, we used to go out on, we would always go, Friday night and Saturday night was our home. We all go downtown, householders, the single men, women, you know, and all that was left would be, you know, the pujaris dressing the deity. And in those days, we only dressed like a bhava at night. We didn't have the quantity of pujaris that we've got now. So, you know, every night, every morning and every night, we dress the deities. Although Radha Krishna did. Radha Krishna has always been dressed three times a day. So there would be a skeleton crew back at the temple, somebody cooking the offering, somebody doing the puja, and everybody would go on Harinam. It was fun. It was the highlight of the week to go on Harinam. You know, you never know what kind of fight you'd get into. because this is late 70s, early 80s. And but I decided, okay, my penance and austerity would be just to hand that back to God in magazines, because we would collect a lot of them. We would, our collections would go towards purchasing books. And at that time, our strategy was not selling books, because we kind of fraud everybody out. So we would just give, so I was giving away back to God in magazines. And so I bit sorry for myself, and then this gentleman walked up to me, American gentleman walked up to me and asked me how it was going. I said, yeah, it's okay. And I gave him back to God in magazine, and he had any more, obviously, good on you. Then he gave me a donation, and I could see it was American money, and I, when someone gives you, so you don't open it up and look at it in front of them, it's not fully assessed. So I put it in my pocket, and he went away, and then afterwards, we were going up, I pulled out the note, he'd give me $100 note. I thought, what? It's far out. And then it made me realise that, my endeavour, I was working really hard thinking I wanted to do it. But, at the end of the week, time to go home, and this fellow just walked up to me. And I figured he must have known the devotees, because he was friendly. To give somebody $100 donation is fairly unique, but even today if somebody gave you $100 for a back to God in magazine, you'd be pretty chuffed. So Krishna is in our lives, and he reciprocates. We forget, we experience these things on a daily basis. And taking as Krishna's mercy, we accept Krishna's mercy, we feel Krishna participating in our lives, reciprocating, which others don't. We feel reciprocation with the deities. So we've got Gaudita, we've got Radha Balabha, and more complexity, right? More complexity, especially. If you looked at all of the personalities, if you explain all of the personalities that we've got on the altar, plus all of the Shalabram Shilas, right? So, not only that, what are these people? They talk about they're into personalities, and we shouldn't, we don't worship graven idols, right? This is a big thing amongst the Judaic, Christian, Islamic tradition, that God is not bound by any form. And if you try to cast him in any moulding or shape or in any form, then you're limiting God. Right? And so this is, the worship of deities is upper art. Right? This is why the Mohammedans would smash the deities in the temples, kill the Brahmanas. But Hare Krishna. Because they're infidels, I guess. No? So very gentle, because Prabhupada says God is unlimited, and so therefore he can do what he likes. If he wants to have a form, sure, what's the problem? But if you say you can't have a form, then you're limiting him. There's a real limitation. So God is unlimited, yes. And of course we know he appears in these forms to provide opportunities for his devotees to render service and to develop their relationship with him. Right? So he's not limited by the forms. Right? And so we say a prescribed form or an authorized form, just a perfect example of a post office box. Right? If you want to show some appreciation for a friend or a lover or a family member, right, what do you do? Well, what did you use to these days? You send them a TikTok or something. But in the olden days, we used to send people cards and letters, And so you went and put your card or letter in the postbox. And it had to be the right, you know, it's not that you walk down the street and you see a box or a bin and you just put your letter in it and expect the same get where you want it to go. No, you have to put it in the authorised. That's Prabhupada's example. You've got to put it in the authorised postbox. So similarly also, you need to worship the authorised form of the Lord. And we have our Baba, right? The most, well, at least I'm probably biased, but in my opinion, the most beautiful form of Radharani, at least. What to speak of Balabhadra? Well, even Radharani is challenging because you know he's got these conchoids. And I remember as a young lady always having difficulty trying approach Radharani because it, Krishna's got this very penetrating glance, but at least probably because I'm a rascal. But again, very challenging. And not only that, we've got our all of the Shalagram Shields, so you know, we've got these authorized forms. But then one of the Hare Krishnas are also worshipping rocks as well. Little pebbles. This really stretches the concept of polymorphic, right? When you think about it. And then we've got Lord Ramachandra, we've got Lord Varaha, we've got Lord Tribhukran, we've got Gopal, we've got Srinadev, we've got Govan. Not only do we worship rocks, but we worship hills as well, right? Whole mountains. So extremely challenging. Extremely challenging. For people who only see God as this, well, can only get their heads around a very limited understanding of an energy that exists within everything that stretches out into the future, goes all the way into the past, and is can't be approached, unapproachable. The scriptures describe how God is unapproachable, right? By mere material efforts. Very interesting. And so, and then, you know, then we see God, Krishna, and he's with his feminine counterpart. Right? So it's like, what is going on here? Too much. And of course then, you know, to make things even more challenging, you know, this is just from the ordinary person, the ordinary people that we, this is what we were discussing the other day, how Bharat Varsha is an auspicious place to take birth, right? Because most people who are born in Bharat Varsha, they already understand all of this, you know, just by being steeped in the culture. What is it? Jnana, Kriya, Dravya. All the knowledge is there, the activity is there, the ingredients are all there, so that the people in that culture automatically come out understanding many of these principles. But the personality of God is not a challenge, because he's already in their lives. But in the ordinary, very ordinary environment that we find ourselves actively engaged in, the culture of the people, that's not a given. Huh? You know, it's very interesting. You arrive in, well, in those days, Dum Dum Airport, right, in Calcutta, and then after quite a bit of struggle and effort, you get your baggage and, you know, you get a taxi. Not easily done, certainly in the 70s and 80s. It was always a struggle. We didn't speak Bengali, they didn't speak English. And, you know, the few words that we knew were Mayapur. That we knew what Mayapur was, and they used to say, Mayapur. That was it.
Yod Mayapur, basically. Mayapur, Mayapur. We say, yep, like I sit in the taxi and then, you know, haggle over how much, you know, you're going to have to pay 3 or 4 times the price that the devotee's doctor you should pay. And then, you know, you drive out of the airport, you go past the down that road, well, I can't remember what that to Barashat, the road that goes to Mayapur. And a taxi driver stops. And so you think, what's he doing? And he gets out of the taxi and he goes to this little temple there. Like somewhere on that road there was a temple the taxi drivers would always stop. They go out and throw a price in and pray to the deity. And then get back and off they go. So it's just part of the culture. And worshipping person, worshipping people, you know, it's just acceptable, right? So, you know, coming to the point of understanding God as a person, and then God as a person expanding as himself, and then a transcendental, you know, satyat ananda vigraha, a transcendental, a form as eternal, and full of knowledge and full of bliss, is it's a Himalayan challenge of awareness, of consciousness, of, you know, expanding one's understanding of things. And then, you know, that Krishna appears in his Adipurush, his original form, and he's accompanied by his consort, Srimati Radharani. And this brings along with it many, many challenges again, right? Because just understanding that God is a person, and as Prabhupada says, you know, he has a residence, he has an address, he has a name. You know, we know how to call him, we know where he lives, we know how to approach him. Right? But then he's there with others, right? And his most significant other is Srimati Radharani. And then, you know, one of the major challenges in understanding and appreciating the form of Srimati Radharani is that Krishna and Radha appear in this Navayovanam form. And so their appearance and the presentation is like that of a young boy and a young girl. Which is fair enough, naturally. What is it? Dr. Tanchana Bhurangi, she's appearing in this form, a beautiful form, whose anga, limbs, are like molten gold, right? Dr. Kanchana Gaurangi. And that even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is in charge of everybody, still he's under the control of his feminine counterpart, which is not unusual, but the women usually are in charge of the men. Well, you know, there's that joke, what is it? I have the last say around here. Yes, dear. But then, how is it if Ishvaraha Parama Krishna, if Krishna is the Supreme Controller, then how come Radharani is in charge of him? Of course, this is a challenge for the men, right? I don't want to say or read that the women rejoice.
And you can see it. It's very interesting. You know, when Lord Chaitanya was instructed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, right? And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya revealed many of the esoteric teachings to Lord Chaitanya. And isn't it interesting, because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, right? And of course Krishna himself in the moon of Srimati Radharani, by the way, acting as a devotee. And so he's the reservoir of all knowledge and of all learning, right? Yet, what does he do? Lord Chaitanya demonstrates how, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming in the form of a devotee in that mood of Srimati Radharani, he approaches even his devotees, right? So Krishna approaches his devotees in the form of Lord Chaitanya to learn about transcendental science, to teach us. Here's how you become self-realized. You have to become a servant of the devotees. And of course, this is what everybody prays in Vrindavan too. They pray to Radharani, right? To become a servant of Krishna, they pray to Srimati Radharani, because Srimati Radharani is the topmost servant of Krishna. Right. And of course, this is how Radharani is actually able to control Krishna, because she's his most dedicated and most devout and most beloved servant. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya was in his inquiry of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, tell me more, right? But that's the moon of the devotee, right? He told me more. What about this? What about that? The devotee is always inquiring. Right? In fact, our mood is in the mood of Vipralamba Seva, because we get that from Srimati Radharani. Most of her service to Krishna was done in separation. Right? This small amount of time when Krishna was in Vrindavan, associating with all the residents of Vrindavan, but most of the time he left, and the residents of Vrindavan were feeling pangs of separation. And we see that in the, this is why I'm saying the Goswami Astikam, because Prabhupada says, you know, we never think, our mood is not to think, I have Krishna, or I have Srimati Radharani, you know, that's following the footsteps of the Goswamis. What is it? Hey Radhe, Radhe, Vike, Chalalite, Hey Nanda, Suno, Bhutaha. Where are you? And Prabhupada says, in the mature act, you know, in the mature practice of devotional service, they're always looking for Krishna. Never feeling I've got Krishna, but always looking and feeling that separation. Which is the moon of Srimati Radharani, well, the moon of Lord Chaitanya, right? And the moon of Srimati Radharani. Because Lord Chaitanya is manifest. And so he's always inquiring. This is the nature of a devotee, always inquiring. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Always wanting to know more. Right? Not thinking, yeah, I know everything. Come and take darshan of me. Hear from me. It's more. But he's always thinking, I can't understand Krishna enough. There's always more to know. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Ramananda Roy, the Lord Chaitanya, go and speak to Ramananda Roy. He can take you further. Right? Which is interesting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a Brahmana, had met thousands of disciples, was very learned in the Vedas. Right? But Sarvabhauma, and Lord Chaitanya himself was a Brahmana too. Right? and a sannyasi.
Interesting.
But so the Prabhupada Bhattacharya said, go and get instructed by Ramananda Roy, he's a householder, and a kayasta, which is effectively a sutra. And that's what we get at Kimba Vipra, Kimba Nasya, Sutra Kinyan Oye, Kimba Dhatvate, Veta, say Guru Boy. We approach those who are learned in Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya then, setting the example, went to Ramananda Roy, inquiring more and more about spiritual topics. And of course, the topmost, the highest level, is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This is the topmost understanding of spiritual, of our spiritual, theology. And it's very interesting because, the pastime, and this was a challenge for Srila Prabhupada, as Yogeshwara points out in Swami in a Strange Land, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna could be misunderstood if they're just seen from the external platform as, the cavorting of young boys and girls in the forest. And, what are young boys and girls doing in the forest? Yeah, you're a broncho, so discuss these things. But Lord Chaitanya, would discuss these intimate pastimes with his close associates, right? But not, it's very interesting, if you look at Srila Prabhupada's presentations on days like today, right, Ashtami, Prabhupada didn't go into, he did not go into the Vrindavan Leela, Rasa Leela pastimes. Never. In fact, you find Prabhupada basically warning people, don't do this. Right? More than anything, if you find Prabhupada talking about it. And of course, this was following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, as did the Goswamis. Because the Goswamis did write this very intimate Leela. It's not that they didn't touch it, but it's meant for very advanced devotees. But sure, Prabhupada, generally speaking, would describe Srimad Radharani as being Krishna's most beloved consort and most dear to him, the epitome of bhakti, the epitome of devotional service, right? But not touching on the very intimate person. You won't find any Prabhupada's thoughts. But in the pastimes where Lord Chaitanya is approaching Ramananda Roy, you get an insight where he describes how Krishna and Radharani in the Rasa dance are engaging. They're engaging. Krishna's engaging with all of the gopis. But then Radharani gets upset. Radharani gets upset because Krishna's not paying enough attention to her. And this way Radharani Roy describes how the ways of love are as crooked as a snake. What happens? The girl gets upset with the boy, and so she gets in a huff. Makes out like, she's upset with the boy. Actually, she's not upset with the boy, she just wants his attention, right? Or she's upset because she's not getting the attention, and so Radharani left. But then Krishna notices that Radharani's gone, so even though he's with all of the other gopis, he's unsatisfied.
Krishna's unsatisfied because Radharani's not happy.
She's left. And so then Krishna is thinking, where's Radharani? And so you can see how rather only attracts. It's very, you know, it's very, very subtle. But it looks like the mundane affair is, but it's not. It's purely spiritual, right? Purely spiritual activity. And again, more challenge for the materialists. So challenging for the materialists, who can only see God as a formless energy within the creation. You know, is God being tricked by his girlfriend? This is hugely challenging for people. Right? And so, Krishna wants to bring Radharani back to Rajasthans, right? And of course, when we see, you know, there's more descriptions of these pastimes where Krishna has left the Rajasthans, and then the other guy who's upset, where's Krishna, right? And then there's a description how. I'm getting the best part of the story, and you just come in and have a chat. Thank you. Anyway, it's okay. My rendition of the story could be better, that's for sure. So, Radharani is Krishna leaves the Vasudevas, the other companies are now upset, and they're looking for Radharani and Krishna, and then they see these two, you know, there's two footprints walking side by side, but they're only one. Right, where Krishna's picked up Radharani, but then Radharani gets puffed up, right, and then Krishna disappears. So, you know, beautiful pastimes that illustrate how Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna and the most devoted servant. And of course, we see that epitomized in Radharani's manifestation as Lord Chaitanya, right? For us, for a practical application of the service mood of Srimati Radharani, if we want to be absorbed in that mood, then we follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, right? He's the manifestation of Srimati Radharani's compassion and her love and affection for Krishna, but also for others. And it's really manifest in the care and the concern that epitomized in the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and then following on from Lord Chaitanya, the mood of the six Goswamis. And we just sang about the six Goswamis, you know, they were studying the Shastra. This is the manifestation of Srimati Radharani's compassion and mood of service in the Sankirtan movement. You know, that the practical application of Srimati Radharani's devotion is manifest in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's study of the Shastra. Right? There's kirtan, sankirtan. And you know, coming from the study of the Shastra, the writing of books, right? The exposition or the you know, if we're going to be effective in bringing people who can't work out whether God exists or not, and if they have an understanding of God as a formless, you know, vibrating light or something, energy, right? We've got to bring them, for most people don't even have an understanding at all, right? If we're going to bring them, then, you know, from this very deeply rooted ignorance, effectively, passionate ignorance, where it's all about the body, to the point of understanding, you know, that you're not the body, that you're spiritual by nature. As spiritual by nature, there are things that you do Right, not that, because this is the other challenge. As a yogi, as an advanced transcendentalist, you know, and if God's just an energy, then what you do, then you just kind of zap out and tune in with the energy, then you don't do anything. Right? This is a notion of, this is what I thought. When I was attracted, I was doing yoga and I was attracted to reading philosophical books. And I thought, you know, the end result is that you just go to the Himalayas and sit in the cave and meditate. Which is patently ridiculous. You can't do that. I could do it then, I can't do it now. Right? So you have to be active. So, you know, what are the activities of the spiritual person? Right? And that's what the Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about, actually, when you think about it. It's the example of what a spiritual person does. Right? So, the Goswamis, following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, exhibited book distribution or public study of books, writing of books, distributing books. Because that came later. And of course, we see that with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Printing press and churning out books and knowledge to be distributed to people. And in Srila Prabhupada, you know, we see Srimati Radharani's compassion and care modeled in the behavior of our founder Acharya, in that care and concern for others, that dedication and devotion to serving Krishna manifest in the compassion for others. Right? And of course that's the inspiration, that they're the inspirations that we can take on a day like Rahasmi, where we want to imbibe the mood of Srimati Radharani and her dedication and love for Krishna. You know, she's the Vrindavaneshwari, she's the queen of Vrindavan, because she's able to capture Krishna's attention. And she captures Krishna's attention by her dedication and by her service to Krishna. And of course, if we want to capture Krishna's attention following the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, then we need to follow in the footsteps of her devotees. We need to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the six Goswamis, Lord Chaitanya. And this is the practical manifestation of Srimati Radharani's love and affection and devotional service to Krishna. So, you know, we certainly have our original Siddha Deva, you know, our Nitya Siddha eternal position in relationship to Krishna. We certainly have that inherent within us, right? But in order to uncover that, we can't artificially just meditate, is what Prabhupada argued against the Siddha Pramali process, right? That, you know, your Nitya Siddha Deha is revealed to you at the time of initiation. He preached against that. No. Certainly you have, you know, Nitya Siddha, what is it? Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prem, Sati Kamunoi. Right. Everybody has their eternal relationship with Krishna, but Shravanadi Sudha Chitte, right? By hearing and chanting, and then purifying your Sudha Chitte, right? Making your consciousness pure, then gradually our spiritual identity will be revealed. Naturally it will come out. Right? So, and of course, we, in order to do that, we actually, Prabhupada says, if you want to please Krishna and get Krishna's attention, then, you know, it's not that you go to Vrindavan and find Krishna behind a rock or something. No. He says, you need to pray to Srimati Radharani, get her shelter. And of course, we do that, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We pray to Srimati Radharani first. Hare Krishna. So, in order to get Krishna's mercy, we need to pray to Srimati Radharani, and that mercy is revealed to us in the form of Srimati Radharani's representatives. That representative is the spiritual master, right? This is why the spiritual master is described as simultaneously being the representative of Lord Nityananda, right? Balaram, the Adi Guru, but also the spiritual master is a representative of Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the expert in service to Krishna and sacrifice to Krishna. That's why we pray to Srimati Radharani. And so in order to get Krishna's mercy, Prabhupada says, pray to Srimati Radharani. Please, Srimati Radharani, put in a good word for me. I'm not a servant of sweet place. So please, if you would be so kind as to recommend your servant to him, right? But then, are we qualified to approach Srimati Radharani directly? Maybe, because she's very compassionate. But how do we approach? We approach through her representative. But this is our culture, if you like. Because we're fortunate. Prabhupada has told us, yes, you can approach Srimati Radharani. We're very fortunate to have our most beautiful Srimati Radharani, most beautifully, the devotees put in hours and hours of service to decorate Radha Baba on this day. In fact, we're supposed to be at the deities at 7 o'clock. What time was it? 9 o'clock. At least 8 o'clock. Yeah. So, but beautiful. And that's service. That really is what conquers Krishna in one sense. Krishna's not conquered by our big, big, big learning and big, big brains and big, big achievements, whatever. In fact, we're not able to do that because of Krishna's mercy anyway. But having the right mood of service, and really that's essential in the Hare Krishna movement, having the right mood of service, and that's being compassionate to others, being kind and caring and giving others an opportunity to come and serve Krishna, connecting people with Krishna. Which is a big challenge, as I mentioned. We culturally are quite challenging. I remember when I first read the Nectar of Devotion, and I thought, Prabhupada was describing, or Rupa Goswami was describing Krishna with his cowboy boyfriends in Vrindavan, playing with his cowboy friends in Vrindavan. And at that point in my career, I was just thinking of God as the impersonal energy within everything. There's this picture of these boys playing. Whoa, what? Okay, this is too much. I just close the book up and put it back in itself. Whoa, that's far out. Huh? This is far out. Although Prabhupada does say, all I have to do is touch the book. Reminds me of what I was saying yesterday. We're being interviewed. And reminds me of a certain story quoting some of Prabhupada's quotations and telling the story of how he became very convinced of Krishna consciousness because he was reading Prabhupada's books. So we have very intimate, deep, detailed instructions
about Krishna's identity, his relationships with his friends, what he does, and what he wants us to do as well, for that matter. You know. And this can be very, very challenging. And so our compassion, you know, in following in footsteps of Srimati Radharani, our compassion is thinking of ways and creating ways to bring people closer to Krishna consciousness so that they can understand it. So it has to be presented. Very well, Govindan. Good to see you. You're dressed very handsomely. Huh? Isn't he? Is Gopinath handsome or not?
Yeah.
He's dressing up for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani and her devotees. So that's that mood of Srimati Radharani, and of course the mood of the devotees is to render service to the divine couple through the devotees, not necessarily directly associating ourselves, right? This is what, you know, there's that song, Srita Padakamala, where the devotee is singing about their relationship with Krishna. Right? And Prabhupada says, no, this is not actually our mood, we render service to the divine couple through the Shaktis. There's not direct association. This is the mood. That mood of service is deeply embedded in the Vaishnava culture and even many times removed. What is it? Gopi Bhadu Padakamaya Dasadas Prasanadas. So it's, you know, we're servants of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada encourages us to approach Radharani to get Krishna's mercy, but we approach Srimati Radharani through the devotees. This is our process. Does anybody have any comments or questions, thoughts, realizations? On this very auspicious day. What are you thinking about, Gopinath?
I think because it's a special day because it's Radharani's birthday.
Yeah. What did you say? What did you say?
It's because it's Radharani's birthday.
Yes, it's Radharani's birthday. And she's got a very beautiful set of clothes on. All flowers. A lot of work. Thank you, Jai.
All your mercy, Guru.
My?
Without your mercy, I can't do it.
Hare Krishna, you're very kind. But I think you're misrepresenting things. It's Prabhupada's mercy and the mercy of the devotees. How many?
I'm sorry?
It's the mercy of the devotees who helped you, I think.
I need your mercy for auction, please.
You need? What's that?
Dress auction tonight, I need your permission, please.
I'm not convinced that we should do that.
Okay. Oh, no auction.
You may have noticed, without breaching any guidelines, restrictions.
Online.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you.
But how we get it to people, that's my concern.
I think to schedule and she arranged
everything.
Okay. Is it enough?
Yep.
Thank you.
I will. Okay. Shrimati Radharani ki
jai.
Shri
Prabhupada ki jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.